The attribute of the beneficent is beneficence. That's the way you can explain in English, between a name and attribute. You say Allah is the most merciful. The attribute of merciful is mercy. Allah is the holy. The attribute of holy, the holy, is holiness. That's the difference. You still
like me? No, but when you discuss an attribute of Allah, it's totally different than the name. You describe a descendant, which would be one of the attributes of Allah.
That's right.
All right.
And his name is not the descendant.
Right.
Right.
So that's where my confusion comes in.
Uh-huh.
I automatically go back to when you say attributes, I automatically think of Rahman, Ali, Malik, John, that type of thing
right.
comes to me.
Okay, every name of Allah has an attribute in it, but the attributes don't have a name. Or name attached to it. Is that clear?
Yeah.
And if you say the name of Allah, if you say the names of Allah, and you just use the word name by itself, in your mind you think of the names and attributes. But as soon as you say the name and attribute, name means one specific thing and attribute means another specific thing. This is a general rule in Islamic law, in Islamic theology and Islamic law. Anytime you have, that's about 1 minute left, right? This is an important rule. If you want to write it down, I'll give it to the state. Anytime you have two words mentioned together, they're both mentioned together, Quran, Sunnah, or in a regular book, those two words have specific meaning for each word. But if you have one of those words mentioned by itself, it means that word and the other word that wasn't mentioned.
I'm sitting right up front now.
Islam and I'll write it the way I like it, like it sounds. Iman. Safir and Miskin. This is a general rule in Usul Deen and Sharia. In Usul of the NFL. Safir and Miskin. Father and Allah. And so on. Alright? When you see two, let me use another one. Zakat and Sadaqah. Alright? When you see Islam and Iman mentioned together, Islam means something specific and Iman means something specific. What that means is, Islam means the things that the Quran and the Sunnah have dictated to you that you do externally, and Iman is that thing that the Quran and the Sunnah have dictated to you that internally. Alright? But if you see Islam mentioned by itself, in your mind now, it's Islam and Iman. If you see Iman mentioned by itself, in general, it means Islam and Iman. So when you see them mentioned together, Islam and Iman. Islam means things on the outside now, Iman means something on the inside. They both have specific meanings. When they're mentioned by themselves, they encompass both. That's a general rule in Islam, among the scholars of Islam. Alright? Fakir and the king. Fakir means the poor. The plural of this is fuqara. Miskin means the needy. The plural for this is Masakin. Allah says in the Quran and Surah At-Tawbah, the repentance, chapter 9. He says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ Surely the alms charity is for the poor and the needy. When you see Shaqir and Miskin mentioned together, Tafkir has a specific meaning, and mekin, the meaning, has a specific meaning. So when you see tafkir mentioned by itself without mekin, tafkir means mekin too. And you see mekin mentioned by itself, it means mekin and tafkir. The two are seen together, tafkir and mekin, one means one specific thing, and one, other one means another specific thing.
So one is by itself, one is by the
other. One, they mean they're both. And when they're together, one is something specific from the other. Alright? Other and Adar. The belief in the three destinations is divine decree of Allah. When you see other mentioned, with Adar, other is more specific. It's one something specific, and Adar is something specific. When you see other mentioned by itself, it means both. When you see Adar mentioned by itself, it means both. When you see Zakat and Sadaqa mentioned together, Zakat and Sadaqa. Zakat means something specific, and Sadaqa means something specific. When you see Zakat by itself, it means charity also, Sadaqa. Okay? That's a general rule. And there's a lot of different examples like that. Alright? When you see Salah and Dua. Salah and Dua. Right? Mention like that, together. Salah means one thing, Dua means another thing, specifically. But if you see Salah mentioned by itself, it also means Dua. Anybody know what the literal, not the religious, but in our conclusion, anybody know what the literal meaning of Salah is? Dua. That's what it means. Okay? Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم. بسم الله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. What we wanted to do today, inshallah, is to continue with his holiday. We want to continue with this part of the series with the main message of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to discuss today, inshallah, some of the verses that mention some of the verses to deal with the attributes of Allah on 55. The first one we want to mention is the ayah in Surah Mu'minun, excuse me, Surah Ar-Rahman, where Allah subhanahu He mentioned in the 55th chapter of the Quran, the 27th verse, and the 26th and the 27th verse, but actually the 27th verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَبَقَى وَجَهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ وَيَبَقَى وَجَهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Chapter 55, verse 27. This is dealing with the wedge of Allah. The wedge of Allah, which is the face of Allah. This is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to discuss some of these attributes starting with this one, of course, inshallah. As far as the wedding of Allah, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have three evidences for this. And this is the way we're going to be going through this, inshallah, with these attributes today. We have three sources of evidence for this. First is from the Kitab of Allah, and the Kitab. Book of Allah, meaning the Quran. Quran. And second source
is, of course, a sunnah Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a hadith. Hadith of the Prophet. Or a companion. And the third is al-ijma'. Al-ijma'. This is consensus that we're going to be dealing with for the next hour and a half, or hour and 45, 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours, for the our evidences for those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either we're going to be getting from Al-Kitab, which is the Quran, either Al-Kunna, which is the hadith of the Prophet or companion, actually just goes right here, believe it or not. Evidences that we use. The evidences for anything that we're going to be talking about is going to come from at least two of these sources. At most, only three. Al-Kitab is the Quran, Al-Sunnah is the Hadith of the Prophet or companion. And we mean by Al-Sunnah, we mean Al-Sunnah Sahiha, the authentic Sunnah, the authentic Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. We don't mean these weak hadiths, these hadiths that have problems in them, that, you know, they're forged, they're, somebody made them up for the according to the science of hadith, they have some problems and we can't use them. We're not talking about those type of hadiths. We're talking about the hadiths that they are agreed upon by the scholars, at least by the majority of them, that they're authentic. And al-ijma', is now the consensus of the Sahaba down to those of today who follow their way. Which means that in the evidence that we're going to be given, that the Sahaba, if we have ijma on it, that means the Sahaba themselves, the companions of the Prophet, السلام, they all agreed that this thing was a fact. And that those who came after them, who were their students, they all agreed that this thing was a fact. And the students who came after them, they all agreed that this thing was a fact. All the way down to the four Imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they all agree that this thing is a fact. All the way down to the scholar today who follow the way of the Sahaba, that they can trace their methodology and their beliefs, all the way back to the companions of the Messenger of Allah, all of them agree on this thing. So if we have the evidence from the Quran and from the Sunnah and Ijma', no one can oppose it. No one can oppose it. No one has right now to say that this thing that we're talking about Allah is whatever aspect we're talking about. If we have evidence from the Quran, the Sunnah, or it's not, No one has the right to oppose that. In fact, if someone opposes it, they take themselves outside of Islam. If a Muslim says they don't agree with it, or they don't accept it, and it's from the Quran and Sunnah and Islam, there's no way in the world they can consider themselves a Muslim. It's impossible. They have expelled themselves from our home. So the first one we want to deal with, and we go to the book, no, let us stop, is chapter 55, verse 27. This is just one of the verses in the Quran. It's a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a faith. In this particular verse, he says, there remains nothing but the faith of Allah your Lord, the Lord of might and glory. Chapter 55, verse 27. This is one of the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a faith. Now, the verse before this is verse 26. The name of the surah is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman. And this is a very popular surah. A lot of children all around the world memorize this. Muslims all over the world, they try to memorize this surah. It's a very, the Quran, of course, is all from Allah. But this surah is a surah that a lot of people try to memorize. This is a surah that Allah continuously says, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Constantly keep saying, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? And the verse before this is verse 26. In that particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kullu man alayha fan. Allah is telling us what's going to happen at the end of this world. He says, Kullu man alayha fan. Everything is going to be destroyed. Everything. Kullu man alayha fan. And then Allah says, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The only thing that will remain is the face of Allah, the Lord of might and glory. Now, I'm going to try to explain something that I hope I don't lose anybody on this. Probably I said the same in the past, that if I didn't keep going explaining, I probably would lose somebody. But I'm going to try my best not to lose anyone this time, inshallah. I don't want to lose anybody purposely. That's for sure. I try my best to love for my brother and sisters, of course, but I love for myself. But we're human beings, and sometimes we hit the mark, sometimes we don't. But inshallah, I'm going to try to explain something that will help us understand what we're talking about. There is in the Arabic language, in the study of the Arabic language, and once again, please be patient with me because this is something that this is kind of, for lack of better words, and probably it's an understatement, a kind of advance in Arabic language. In the Arabic language, you have different disciplines inside the Arabic language. You have an-nahw, which is Arabic grammar. And I have to do this to make you understand what this verse means. You have an-nahw, which is Arabic grammar. You have as-sarf, which is Arabic morphology. You have al-balagha, which they translate to something like eloquent rhetoric, something like that, rhetoric. Then you have as-sha'r, which is Arabic poetry. And you have al-adab, which is Arabic literature. All these are important parts of Arabic language. And for the person who really wants to advance themselves and become really good in Arabic, you can talk to Sheikh Abbas about this. He studied all of these things. He was his major in college. Alhamdulillah, I'm not rewarding. I mean, you can ask him about these things. But in one of those aspects, which is called al-balagha, which is eloquent rhetoric, that's divided into three types. And one of the types, one of the aspects of al-balagha, there's something called, it's called dhikrul kul bi iradatul zul. And dhikrul zul bi iradatul kul. I think I mentioned this before, inshallah, I'll say it again. What this means is that in the Arabic language, And I think, I can't think of any examples in English, but in the Arabic language, and I'm sure there are, but in the Arabic language, they have something, ذكر كل means something can be mentioned, something in the totality of something can be mentioned. But إرادة الجزء, but the intent behind the statement means only part of the thing that was mentioned. Evidence, people? You know anybody who knew this? Okay. I'll say it again. It's a ذكر كل إرادة الجزء. In Arabic, just like in the Quran, and also in Hadith, in Arabic in general, but also in the Quran, because of course the Quran is Arabic, you'll find places in the Quran where something is mentioned and the whole thing is mentioned. But what is meant is part of the thing. Now, what we mean by part of the thing, it can either be literally or it can be syntactically. Alright? Also, you have the opposite. You have zikr juz bi iradat al kul, which is the mentioning of something, which is a part of something, but the intent is the whole. The first one, you mention the whole, the totality, and it's just a part of it. The second one is the opposite, you're mentioning part of it, and it really means the whole. Okay.
It's in Arabic.
This is an Arabic language. In English too, but you don't know what it means unless you know this discipline of Arabic called al-balagha. You won't know what it means. Alright? For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ السَّوَاعِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ وَيَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ السَّوَاعِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. They put their fingers in their ears for fear of the thunderclap, for death overtaking them. You know this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah? You probably read this verse before, right? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the likeness of the rain and storm. How completely the minister not a duty would imagine a wa'ad and a bark, the thunder and lightning. وَيَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ. They put their fingers in their ears for fear of a thunderclap, or for fear of death for a thunderclap. Allah take away their light and leave them in darkness, etc., 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 right? And they can't see. Now, in that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word أَصَابِعَ. أَصَابِعَ is the plural word for إِصْبَعَ, which is finger. Right? In this verse, he mentions the plural word, finger. Alright? The key is not the plural word. The key is the word finger. Now, you don't have to know Arabic. You don't have to know English. You just have to know what a finger is. What, anatomically, what is your finger? From where does your finger start? Mm-hmm. I mean, where? Now, you can start from the top, from the bottom, or the bottom of the top. But where does my finger start? Anatomically. Not Arabic or English, just according to the rules of anatomy.
From the bottom?
From the bottom, right here at this joint, to where? To the top. I mean, it's simple. I'm not going to tickle you about it. I'm not going to say like it is right here. But it starts right here, and it ends right here. Now, think about the verse. Think about the verse I just said. See if you can find it. Where is this verse? أو كصيف من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق. Or like a rainstorm from the sky where it is darkness, thunder and the flash of lightning. يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين. They thrust their fingers in their ears by reason of the thunderclap for fear of death. Allah encompasses the disbelievers in his guidance. Right? Now, you just explained what the thing is. What do you mean? Is that possible to put your thing in your ear? It is? How is it possible when you just come to the front of it?
Not the whole thing, but part of the thing.
Huh? Right, but the first is they put their fingers in the ear. Alright? So even in English, alright? I think inshallah, see this brother right here. He's the brother who's regular people for the class. Even in English, when we say, particularly when your husband or your wife or the kids is young or something like that, you don't want to hear them say, you put your fingers in the ear. You know that you don't put your whole thing in your ear. You know this. I mean, it's just It's common. It's common. If you don't put your whole thing in, you don't put from here to here in your head. I mean, if you do, you better go to Ripley's, believe it or not. What is this other thing that World Book of Guinness Records get a job and make a couple of money? So you put your whole thing in your head and give me a PC for giving you the idea. So the thing is from here to here. So what you really know is what it really means is that things are tips. So in this system of Arab language, this part of the study of Arabic language in Al-Balagha, we learn in this part of Al-Balagha that this is an example of mentioning the whole thing, but the intent behind it is part of the thing. You mention the whole thing, but the intent is part of it. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran that he sends down their sustenance from the sky. He sends down their sustenance from the sky. That their sustenance comes from the sky. Alright? Another example, but we know what this means. Another example, because we don't get our vegetables, we don't get our fruit, we don't get the our clothing and all these things from the sky. Alright? But what's coming from part of what he mentioned is the thing that makes those things grow. And replenishes those things that we take the sustenance from. But he mentions the sky. Right? You see this all the time. Alright? For instance, there's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was walking through the souk one time. He was walking through the marketplace. Right? And he stopped by, one hadith, one narrator says he stopped by the salesman who was selling grapes. Another one says he was selling corn. Alright? One says grapes, one says corn. So he looked at it, he said, stuck his hand down into the bottom, he pulled it up, and the defective grapes were hidden under the bottom. Alright? And the good grapes were on the top. The problem said, nah, Heather, you know, what is this? And you're like, what, you know, what are you doing? And the man said, I saw a vegetable for that. Now I'm not going to translate first, I'm going to say the whole hadith. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's not appropriate, paraphrasing what he said, it's not appropriate for a person that when they sell things, that they put the defective part on the bottom and the good part on the top. In sales, in Islamic sales, because you have to be Muslim in everything you do, you're supposed to put the good part right next to the bad part so that people can see for themselves. And then the Prophet said, Men ghashina minna. Whoever cheats us is not of us. Alright? But what the man had said was, when the Prophet asked him, you know, like, what is it? You know, what's the problem? The man said, Afar best bhutana. Literally what this says is, the sky hid it. That's literally in Arabic, that's what it says. The sky hid it. That's what made it happen. So what does this mean? What does this mean? The sky, he said, in other words, the grapes were damaged like this because he said the sky hit it. But literally, what does this mean? I mean, not literally, but according to the in other words, he's saying that the rain hit it. That's the point. In other words, in Arabic, he's mentioning the whole of the thing, but actually the thing that actually affected the grapes was did affect it, because actually he lied. So this is the deception. But part of the sky, the part that comes from the sky that does this, is the rain itself. But there's no mention of the word rain in the statement of the man. This is what we're saying about mentioning the whole and meaning the part. And in the verse of the finger, and also in this example. Alright? Now let's reverse it. We have another one, which is mentioning the part, and it means the whole. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرُكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ Bow, make ruku with those who make ruku. They translate it as bow down with those who bow down. That's what they translate. So literally means make ruku, this position, right? With those who make ruku. This is the opposite. Now it's missing a part, but it means the whole. Now you know what this verse means? It means make salah with those who make ruku. That's what it means. Why? Because ruku is a part of the salah. It's an integral part of the salah. If you don't have ruku, you don't have salah. See? If you don't have ruku, you don't have salah. Alright? In this particular verse, chapter 55, verse 27, and the verse before it, chapter verse 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ, that everything in the last days is going to be destroyed. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ فِي ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, the only thing that's going to, not going to be destroyed, it's going to remain, is the face of Allah. Now here the rule changes just slightly. Here Allah mentions his face. It means Allah. It means Allah. But here the rule slightly changes. It doesn't mean that Allah is spoken of as a prophet. That's the difference. Like the other things we mentioned, mentioning the whole and it means the part, or mentioning the part and it means the whole. With this, it means Allah, even though he's only mentioned his face, but you can't use the terminology that you use with the things that you read. You can't say you're mentioning part of Allah. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because Allah is not broken up into parts. That's what I mean. So here, you can't say the same thing, so it means the exact same thing, but with Allah, you just can't say part of Allah's name. Because Allah doesn't have part. See? That's what I want to mean. Alright? So here, when it says, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّي, it means actually, وَيَبْقَى رَبُّ, your Lord himself is the only thing. In other words, because if you don't understand it like that, and this is the way the Sahaba understood it, the Tabi'un, those who followed the Sahaba, all the scholars of the companions and the companions of the companions and the companions of the companions of the companions of the companions, all the way down to the scholars of today who go back to the way they understood it, all of them agree on this. Now, but if you don't understand it this way, if you don't understand it and you take it not understanding that principle in Arabic language, you will think, after knowing that Allah has feet, after knowing that Allah has hands, after knowing that Allah has a chain, after knowing that Allah has fingers, this verse, if you take this verse the way it's read, without an understanding, what would it tell you? The only thing that's going to remain is the face of Allah. What would that tell you? What would that imply?
Yeah,
everything else of what?
Of Allah.
That's right. It means that the only thing that's not going to be destroyed is his face. But his hands going to be destroyed, his feet going to be destroyed, his fingers going to be destroyed, etc. You follow what I'm saying? So in this verse, that's the way we understand it because of this rule in Arabic language. And that's why it's very, very important to learn the Arabic language. It's very important. When you read this stuff, even in Arabic, if you don't know those other disciplines in Arabic, it can really throw you off. Alright? As far as our proof that Allah has a faith from the Sunnah, we already have the proof from the Quran. The proof that we have from the Sunnah is the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari, in the book of Janazah. Of Janazah, the book of the funeral, book of funeral. Alright? You might get it. Alhamdulillah. There's a hadith in Al-Bukhari, and it's also in Muslim, in the book of, what do we call this now? Not the terrorist, but Will, Bequeathal, the book of Bequeathal and Will. Alright? Where the Prophet told Sa'd, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُنْفِقُ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا. The Prophet said that you will never, speaking to Sa'd specifically, but speaking to the Muslims in general who come after him, he said you will never give any type of provision or sustenance. Because the story is, in this particular hadith, I see the background, Sa'd was a very, very rich person. Radiallahu anhu, he was it. He was what we call like today a multimillionaire. There were some of the Sahabas were like multimillionaires, and some of them were very, very poor. And Sa'd was one of the ones who was extremely rich. And he was also one of the ones who, alhamdulillah, was one of the people who we call Asharat Mubashirun. Asharat Mubashirun was one of the 10 people that the Prophet told that you are in paradise, if you have a faith in God. He told them why they were alive. Great. I mean, great is understated. So Sa'd was of course one of the eminent companions. He couldn't have been eminent as the prophet, because the prophet told him to go to paradise. You have to be doing something right. Alright? So Saad wanted to leave his family like a lot of money and stuff. Alright? And the prophet told him, no, don't leave that much. So he told him, he said, well, what about half? Alright? And the prophet told him, no. He said, well, what about one third? He said, that you can give one third, but that's enough. Don't give any more than that. And this is how we also gain some of the information on how much you leave your family as far as inheritance. So this is how these are also part of the rules of inheritance. But we're using it today for Tawheed. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you will never give Saad, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي. No one of you will ever give any type of sustenance seeking the face of Allah. Seeking or desiring the face of Allah, except إِجِبْتَ عَلَيْهَا, except that you're going to be rewarded for it. Alright? Now we can gain a lot from this hadith. But the point that we want to use it for is the proof that Allah is the face. What does it mean? It means none of you will give the sustenance seeking to get the reward to see Allah. That's what it means by the face of Allah. Seeking the face of Allah means seeing Allah himself. It means seeing the face of Allah himself. Alright? So this is the proof from the Sunnah that Allah subhanahu has a face. Alright? And also from the Ijma', our rightly guided companions and the companions of the companions and those who follow them and the four Imams and all of the Muslims who follow the way of the Sahaba, they all are in total consensus, total agreement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a faith, that he has a faith without, he has a faith without ta'reef, changing the meaning, without ta'til, negating that he has a faith, without taqyeed, how he has it, how his faith is, or without tamthil, saying that Allah's faith is like somebody else's faith, something like that. And that we believe that Allah has a faith, haqiqiyyan, means actually, literally, Allah has a faith, yaliqu bi jalali, or yaliqu billah, in accordance to the greatness of Allah and befitting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, the people of deviation among the Muslims, the people who are, we call Ahlul Ta'atiyah, we mentioned this last week, I think, they believe that when Allah mentions that he has a faith in the Quran, they say that the word faith means reward. It doesn't really mean the faith of Allah. They say it means thawab. Thawab. When it says Allah's wedges, so W-A-J-H, it really means thawab. They totally changed the meaning and said, no, Allah, it doesn't really mean Allah is the faith. It means that he's seeking the reward of Allah, not Allah himself. Alright? And of course, we will refute them by the principles that we've already gone through for the past couple of weeks. We just use those principles and we will prove them wrong with those principles. Alright? Are there any questions about this before we go to the next one? No? How you feeling? The next one we already have written down, but we're going to write it down again, inshallah, is the verse in chapter 5, Al-Ma'idah. Al-Ma'idah. Chapter 5, verse 54. Surah 5, ayah 54. This is talking about the hands. The hands of Allah. Al-Yad. Or Yadan. Let's say Yadan. The two hands of Allah. Two hands of Allah. Our proof for this is once again from the Kitab of Allah, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and the Sahaba, and also the Ijma'. Am I right? You got it, first predicate. Allah in this verse, he says, بل يداه مبسوطتان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that his two hands are spread out wide. His two hands are spread out wide. This is one of our proofs that Allah has two hands. This is from the Quran. And we have in Bukhari and Muslim the hadith in the book of Zakat. You can find it in the book of Zakat. Where these things are in English, I have to find them. I don't know where they are in English. But in Arabic, I can say where it is. But it's in the book of Zakat. It's on the section of inciting or encouraging to give, to spend. And also the glad tidings of those who do the spending. That's in that section in the book of Zakat in Muslim. In Bukhari, it's in the book of Tawheed. The book of Tawheed. Under the section where Allah said in the verse, لِمَا خَلَقْتُ لِيَدَيَّ. In the section, if you look in the book of Tawheed in Bukhari, under the section of the statement of Allah, for that which I have created with my two hands. That's the section of the That's the name of the section. For that which I have created with my two hands. There's an explanation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, يَدِهِ الْأُخْرَى الْقَبْتُ يَرْفَعُ وَيَغْتِبُ. Says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with one of his hands, with his right hand, he fills up, he has things filled up. And in his other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his other hand, it says that he grabs, he opens and he closes. He opens and he closes as far as giving. He opens and he closes. Right, so this is another function that we know that Allah does with his hand. Right. And we mentioned, I think, a week ago, because some people think from reading this hadith, when it says his right hand, he has filled up this, and then the next part of the hadith it says, and his other hand, he does opening and closing with this. Right? Opening and closing. So some people thinking of themselves, that is a left and a right. But the Prophet ﷺ says that both of Allah's hands are right. But he doesn't have a right hand and a left hand. Right? So that's the proof from the Sunnah. Alright, and from the Arabi Gadic predecessors, the consensus of the Sahaba, they all agree. Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, Ali, Sa'id ibn Waqar, Abu Rahman ibn Awf, Talha, Zubair, Bilal, Fatima, Aisha, Maymun, they all agree, male and female, to Allah has given. Nobody disagrees. And then when they died off, their students, all of them, they all agree. And when they died, their students, they all agree. And the 49, they all agree. The only people that came in generations after them, they started going out to the left side of the ballpark, up to today. But everyone in the past, and those who follow their way today, alhamdulillah, those of us who are sitting in this room, we all agree the way the Sahaba understood. They agree Allah has two hands, that's it. Without changing the meaning, tahreef, without ta'til, negating the meaning, without tafyeed, saying how the hands were, and without tamthil, saying that his hands are like our hands or like a monkey's hand in the So this is the proof that Allah has. This is one of the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has handed. Any questions about this before we go on? Okay. As for the people of deviance, the Ahlul Ta'til, the people who negate and change the meaning of Allah's attributes and names, they say that the hand either means his bounty, or they say that it means his power, his strength, or his might, or they say that it means something else like this, something similar to that. And you read the Quran, and you'll notice that they translate this way. They'll say that when you look at the commentary of Yusuf Ali and some of the other people from the Shaykh, some of the Imams, when they teach, they'll say that it means that the power of Allah, that real hand of Allah. Alright? Of course, we would refute them with the principles that the Lord has done. Any questions about this? No? No questions about this?
Yeah. People who use those particular ideas to support the claim that we're made in the image of Allah, how do you receive them?
The people who use these verses?
That second lie, has two hands and faith.
I would say, this is holy. Let me keep going. And then ask that question again.
Are the attributes of the created things similar, or are they like? The attributes of Allah? And what? Or is there any likeness or similarity to the attributes of Allah and the created things, if you want to say it like that? And if it is, why? Or how? Now, I'm going to take a breath, and you will answer the first question. Somebody answer the first question. Please. Just answer with a yes or no first. Are the attributes of Allah real? Are they active? And then we'll deal with why later. Yes, answer is yes. Now, because what? Simply because he said it. That's it. Simply because of the first principle that we learned. We speak to the text, whatever Allah said, that's it. Yes, and it's not permissible to go and change the meaning and say it's not that. He says that he actually has the attribute. That's it. That's it. All right? Unless you have some authentic belief, it says that he doesn't mean that he's saying about himself. Other than that, he never says that. Who wants to take the second one? Is it permissible in taqdeem? And what is taqdeem?
It's the how.
Right, explaining something. I sense it, that's right. Explaining the how of something. Explaining. In explaining Allah's attributes, or the taqdeem of Allah's attributes, of course, outside of what he already, if he didn't say it himself, if he didn't explain himself in the process of explaining it, is it permissible?
No.
Not permissible, that's the answer. Not permissible. And if you look in chapter 20, verse 1:10, that is an example of the reason why Allah says, وَلَا يَكِدُونَهِ عِلْمًا, while they encompass, or they cannot compass it in knowledge. Our knowledge can't fathom the attributes of Allah. So to try to explain it, using taqdeem to try to explain a lot of attributes, it's impossible. Unless he already explained it for you. Right? So the answer is no. And chapter 20, verse 1:10 is proof of that. Right? He says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. He knows all that is before them and that which is behind them, while they don't encompass anything of the knowledge.
So that means it's unpermissible if Allah explains.
Or the Prophet. Or the companion. But outside of that, it's not permissible. Haram. Because then you go back to chapter 7, verse 33, the talk of Allah without knowledge is haram. Right? And the last question. The likenesses. Can we say that there's any likenesses between, a similarity between the attributes of the created thing and the attributes of Allah? Yeah. I'm not talking about engagement, I'm talking about engagement.
No.
And what's the proof for that? From the Quran. The bailout verse. Chapter 42, verse 11. Which is what? There's nothing like him, and he is the seer of the hearers. There's nothing like him, and he is the seer of the hearers. Alright?
And that's because Allah is justified. He's justified to have perfection. The type of perfection that has no limit. It's limitless. Right? In fact, it's over limitless. Excessively limitless in its perfection. And it's not possible for the created things to have similarities and likenesses with the attributes of Allah. The attributes of the created things, because the attributes of the created things are limited, they have sympathy. Alright? Now, if you go back to your notes, there was a word that we gave, which is word taqdeer. We gave another word called tamthil. Anybody tell me what it means?
It means the belief and attributes of Allah without saying they have a
likeness. What?
Tamthil.
Tamthil means
the belief and attributes of Allah without saying
they have a likeness. Right. In other words, we don't say that Allah's attributes are like this. I gave an example of the brother with a t-shirt on. Back to that example. I saw the brother Manasseh, he had a t-shirt on, and the guy with the t-shirt said, God is like so-and-so, God is like T.W.A., and then he gives all the slogans, because, you know, Coke is the real thing, because God is like Coke, but God is like the real thing. God is like T.W.A., what's the slogan for T.W.A.? You remember? What's the slogan for IBM? Well, anyway, it says, God is like this, God is like that, God is like this, you know. So what is the difference between the two? What is the difference between taqdeer and tamthil? The difference between taqdeer and tamthil is that tamthil, which is called the likeness of something, you know. The difference between taqdeer and tamthil is that tamthil is mentioning how the thing is described in a descriptive type of way. Alright? And technique is explaining how the thing is without restricting it to a specific likeness. Alright? Let me say that again. When you say tamthil, you're actually doing technique, but you're being more specified. You're restricting your explanation of how it is by detail. That's what we mean. You see? And technique is just general. It's an unrestricted type of explanation. You're not giving detail of how it might come. Is that kind of clear? Mm-hmm. For instance. Right. For instance. The man who asked Imam Malik in the Masjid, how does Allah appear to this room? This statement was a question, he's asking a question of taqdeer. He's asking how. Alright? If someone was to say, he does it, that first part of the statement, he does it, now he's starting to explain, right? Mm-hmm. You say, he does it, and then whatever you say after that. Mm-hmm. Now he's just starting to explain, right? But then, if you say, he does it like this, that's tamthil. So now you're becoming more specific on technique. Mm-hmm. You're becoming more specific on how something is done. When you make technique, it's just saying how it's done. But you're not being specific on how it's done. Tamthil has technique inside of it. Not only are you explaining how, you're showing it. Oh, he punched him like this. Boom! Right? See? Let them feel inside of the key. First he said, you explain what he did, and then you demonstrated exactly how he did by saying he did it like a bull, or he did it like Mike Tyson, or he did it, you know. In other words, the main difference between technique and tamthil in simple English terms, as soon as you use the word like or similar to, that's tamthil. That's as simple as I can do, in a lot of ways. Alright? So one is more general, and the other one is more specific. Which one is more specific?
Mm-hmm.
And feel is more specific. Technique is more general. Alright? For instance, if somebody says Allah has a hand, and I just begin to, I wonder how his hand looks. Which one is that? Now this is what I'm saying now. Allah says he has a hand for us. He says that he has two hands in his hand. And by the way, brothers and sisters, Allah has two hands, and the Prophet says both his hands are right hands. He doesn't have a right hand and a left hand. The Prophet says that both of Allah's hands are right hands. If someone says Allah has a hand, and I start imagining how Allah's hand is, is that technique or technique?
Is
he right?
It's that he.
So imagine how it can be. It's not describing it. You're not saying like this. But if I say the hand of Allah is like a human being, which one is that? That is. So now I'm giving specific. I'm saying his hand is white from him. That's that for you. Alright? Okay. Now, the last thing on this particular section is we mentioned also this one, ta'til. Anybody remember what ta'til is?
Negation of Allah's name and attributes.
Right. Negation of Allah's name and attributes. In fact, the people who do this are called Mu'attala. The people of ta'til. We can either call them this, we can either, the people of Ta'til are either called Al-Mu'attala, right? The people of Ta'til are either called Al-Mu'attala, or we can call them Ahlul Ta'til. You can call them either one of them you want to call. You can call Ahlul Ta'til, or you can call them Al-Mu'attala. The people who negate or deny Allah's attributes. These are the people who negate either all or some. So then, we mentioned in the very beginning of this part of the class, that the Muslims are divided, or people are divided. I should have really said people are divided. People are divided into three groups when it comes to the belief in the names and attributes of Allah. We mentioned that there were those who believe in the names and none of the attributes. Those who believe in all the names and all of the attributes. And those who believe in the names and some of the attributes. You may have the order out, but those who believe in the names and don't believe in the attributes. Those who believe in all the names and all the attributes. That's us. I'm just left. And those who believe in the names and part of the attributes, or some of the attributes. The first and the third group are Al-Mu'attala, or Ahlul Ta'til, the people who negate some or all, or reject some or all as the Allah. The name is what attributes. Alright? Another sign of them, another attribute of them, is that they change the meaning from its obvious apparent meaning. So that means they also exist, and you were given this word too. That means. So this is another description of the people of Mu'attala.
Those people that, okay, they don't believe in, they believe in all the names and none of that attributes. What about the names that tag attributes?
No, they say that these are just names and they don't have attributes inside of them.
Oh, this is a statement that they're making.
Yes, they say, well, in other words, the way that we believe, the people who follow the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sahaba, the Sunnah of the Prophet and the Sahaba, we believe that all the names have attributes inside of them, intrinsically, internally, each name has an attribute. Alright? They don't believe that. They believe that these are the titles of Allah. And they believe that if you say that Allah has some of the names of Allah, some of the attributes that Allah said he has, you are equating him to human beings. And they call us the humanizers, the anthropomorphic. The people who make anthropomorphization or humanization to Allah.
With David, even with the reality of verse 42, chapter 42, verse 11.
That's the verse they use against us. There's nothing like it, so how can you get Allah's hand? You see? How can you get Allah's face? That's the reason we get that. Alright? So, you can check back to your principles, and you can determine for yourself what principles you can use against this specific type of people. Alright? And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, we're talking about Muslim kids now, specifically. But in general, we know Jews do it, the Christians do it. A lot of people do it. Unfortunately, the Muslims have adopted the ways of the Jews and Christians. But this is an attribute of the Jews. To change the meaning of Allah's attributes and names. To change the meaning of whatever happens in the Quran, or they do it with the Torah. All right. And because we're talking about Allah's beautiful names and perfect attributes, specifically, this doesn't stop, brothers and sisters, at just names and attributes of Allah. They do this with all types of verses. Some people are more seen than others. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Musa says, what is qala, what is qala Musa li qawmihi, inna Allah yashkurukum an tadbahu baqara, qalu atastakiruna hudwa, qala a'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahilin. Allah says, and remember when Musa said to the people, remember when he said to the people, surely Allah has ordered you to sacrifice a cow. And they say, what? You think it's a mockery for this? You think it's a fool? And then Musa says, I think there was a robot and I think there was ignorant. Alright? Some of the extremists among the Shia, La'anahum Allah, and Allah cursed them, they say that that cow means Aisha. Whole changing of his name in the group. Cow is a cow. I mean, how do you say cow means a car, or cow means a radio, or cow means a hoop? They just totally change the meaning of this idea. That's a function, excuse me, not all of them. They totally change the meaning of the verse that says the cow may need to kill Adam. But the law of Adam, one of the best of women. Alright, and our mother. The law says the Bible is probably our mother. Alright, that's a good example. Another example is the Shi'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the 55th Surah of the Quran, Surah al-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَخُلُّ مِنْهُ مَنْ لُقْتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. First it says, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَقُ لِلَّهِ يَبْرِهِ أَوْتِهِ مَرْجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ. He has looped the two seas. He has let go the two seas and they meet. Right? Allah says, مَرْجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ. He has let loose the two seas and they meet. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَقُ لِلَّهِ يَبْرِهِيَانِ. And there's a barrier between them and they don't go into marriage with one another. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Which of the favors of the Lord is not? The two favors of the Lord is not. يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان. And from the two of them, meaning the two seas, come pearls and coral. The Shia, some of them, they change the sole meaning of the verse. They say the two seas is what? You know what I'm saying again? Ali and Fatima. So who the girl is the girl?
So why did you choose?
Huh?
Did you?
No.
If they say the two C's is really Ali and Fatima, who are the curls, the four curls and the curls that come from the two C's?
Ali, Hassan and Hussein.
They're two sons,
Hassan and Hussein,
from the Maharaj. All
right?
How do you think of the meaning of the verse?
All right?
Let the, this Tahrir means to change the meaning of Allah's name, actually specifically because we talk about the name and attributes of Allah. But in general, it means to change the meaning of anything. You have some people that say, and remember what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, Tahrir is an attribute of Allah Akbar. That's not the total attribute of them, but that's one of the attributes. One of the attributes of the people of Tahrir is that they make Tahrir. They change the meaning of verses of Quran. Whether specifically talking about the names and attributes of Allah, or in general anything else, like example of the cow, like the example of the two seeds, and the example of the pearls and the corals. You follow what I'm saying? And Tahrir has two characteristics to Tahrir, changing the meaning. Either it changes by the word or by action. Either it changes the actual word itself or the meaning of the word. And we gave the example before, remember? How Jews were told to say hetzpah. And they changed the word to hetzpah. Alright? Now, we have other examples today. People who are changing the meaning of verses of Quran, changing the meaning of hadith. For instance, you have people in the United States that are saying that the Red Sea really didn't split, that the word red means angry, and the sea means people. It really means angry people. Totally changing the meaning. You see? That Noah, alayhi salam, Noah, it really wasn't a flood. It really wasn't an ark. The wood in the ark represents this, and the flood represents that. Mountains represent government. It's not when a lot of talk about mountains in the Quran, they say it's not real mountains, it's talking about government. Where you get this from? Holy man, or whoever's saying it. You know? How do you change? The word is known. Now, how in the world are you going to get government out of the word known? You know what I'm saying? Okay. So that's just one of the aspects of the people, you know, of obedience. Alright? The Mu'attila, Mu'attila, simply Mu'attila, that's more from Mu'attila. The people who negate or deny. Can someone give me an example? Oh, by the way, oh man, something bad to do with this. Anyone who denies, who makes ta'kid of Allah's name or the attribute, once the clear cut, authentic evidence has been given to them, if they still believe and stick to, let me qualify it, if they believe and stick to the belief that Allah doesn't have the attributes that he said he has, or the prophet said that Allah has, or he doesn't have any, if he gave them that, they are, if it's a man, kafir, if it's a woman, kafir. Not only are they kafir, they're mushrik too. Because if you're Catholic, you're Muslim. If you're Muslim, you're Catholic. Religiously, they're the same. Linguistically, they're different. Alright? One of the attributes of the Mu'attila, the people of Ta'qib, the ones who negate and deny and reject, is atheism. An atheist is a Mu'attila. He's one of the Ahlul Ta'qib. Why? No, you were right, but he's more specific, because he does what? He negates what? What attribute of Allah? His existence, his wudu. His wudu. So he worships all of them. He worships all of them. He worships the people who say Jesus is coming down. Because when the person who says that Jesus is the Son of God, they're denying part of the attributes of Allah.
You see? What Allah says. And what attributes are they denying of Allah? Okay, let me go from the beginning. The people who say that Jesus is the Son of Allah, or Ezra, or Uzair, they say that the Jews say that Uzair is the Son of Allah, Ezra, and the Christians say that Jesus is the Son of Allah, alayhi salam. Alright? The people who are saying this, they are denying what type of attributes that we study today of Allah. Think real hard before you say it. What attributes are they rejecting of Allah? What type is it? Okay. The people who say that Allah is the Son. First of all, the first thing you should do, if you should remember, and how many categories, how many Allah's attributes are divided into how many? That's the first thing you should think of. That's the first thing that's coming to your mind when you talk about Allah's names and attributes. You follow me? Two. What are they? Hububiyya and Salbiyya. Alright, now, the people who say that Jesus is the Son of Allah, what of those two types are they rejecting? They're saying that Jesus is the Son, that Allah has a Son. No. Salbiyya. Why? Because Allah negates the fact in Surah Ikhlas, that's no idea. He neither begets nor alright? That's a selfie verse. Allah is denying the fact that he is born or that he gives off birth. You see it now? So they're rejecting that part of Allah's attributes, the attributes of negation. You see? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also mu'assir in that sense. He negates. He makes fa'atiyya. He negates, I'm not this, I don't take rest, I'm a little taking, I don't have children, I'm not born, I'm not this, I'm not a young. You see? In that sense, he is a negator. So anyone who negates what he negates, they're making Fubutia on the other side of the coin. You understand what I'm saying? If Allah says this, that's affirmative, and the Prophet says the same thing, anyone who negates that is making affirmation on something else that Allah has, or making negation on something that Allah has affirmed. But anything that Allah has negated of himself, if they say that he does have it, at the same breath they're saying that something else is affirmed, which is like, for instance, to say that Allah has a son. Allah says he doesn't have a son. If they negate it to say Allah does have a son, they are making an affirmation. Which is a statement of kufr. So the people who say that Allah is a son are not as bad, so Allah curses them in the Quran and says they are not going to go to paradise and they're going to go to hell. Alright? Allah says in the Quran, surely those who say that the Messiah, the Son of Mary, is Allah, Allah's prophet Jesus, Allah says in the Quran, in that Torah, he will say to the children of Israel, worship your Lord and my Lord, he's one. And he said, whoever makes a partner with Allah, paradise will be haram for them. So many Muslims did that, because the haram of Allah alayhi jinnah, for that wahu lillah, and his faithful be the hellfire, for man of one need and ansar, and they won't have any hope. So the people who say Jesus has a son, I mean Allah, Jesus is the Son of Allah, they are cursed. Paradise is haram for them, and their place is hell. So how about the people who say that Allah doesn't exist at all? Who works? Because the people who say that Jesus is the Son of Allah,
At least they recognize that Allah is the creator. At least they recognize that Allah is the owner. At least they recognize that Allah is the administrator in some kind of way. They don't negate all the attributes of Allah. They negate some of the attributes of Allah. But they're still kuffar. And they're still mushrikun. Alright? But the person who says that Allah doesn't exist at all, at one stone throw, it can be remembered. And one of the great scholars in Islam, whose name was Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, who produced some great, great scholars. One of them was Ibn Kathir, the great scholar of Tafsir, Quran, and history, and also Ibn Qayyim, extremely great scholar. Ibn Qayyim said, Al-Mujassimu Ya'budu Sunaman, Al-Mu'attilu Ya'budu Adaman. He says that the formers of the body, or the people who make them, who gave them with their hands, they worship idols. They worship idols. He says, and the Mu'attilu, the negators and rejectors, worship nothingness. Is this clear? What do you say? In other words, the people who say Allah doesn't exist, what are they worshiping? So if they're not worshiping anything, by denying that Allah exists, this makes them a Catholic. By negating that Allah exists in their kufr, this makes them mushrikun, pagans, people who are associated with part of Allah, because to negate that Allah exists, means on the other side that people mean that you're saying that something else is the creator, thereby you are associating a part of Allah, therefore you are Muslim. In the negation of Allah exists, you have to be saying that something else does the things Allah does. That's right. So when you negate the fact that I'm not the teacher right now in class, you're saying somebody else is. Right? By negating the fact that I'm not here, and my voice is being heard in this body, so you're saying that somebody else is looking like the hoop, somebody else, you know, right? Looks like the hoop. Alright, so when you say that Allah doesn't exist, that means all his attributes don't exist. And it's in him, and with him. And if you say that all his attributes don't exist in him and with him, you have to be saying that they are with or in something else. So that makes you a mushrik too. So now you're Catholic and you're Muslim. You see? So no matter how you look at it, and this is a big mistake, many of the people in Islam, including some scholars, they make the mistake of saying that a Catholic is a general type of mushrik, and that all mushriks are Catholics, but all Catholics are not mushriks. So all Catholics are mushriks, and all mushriks are Catholics. Alright? So that's why Ibn Qayyim says that Al-Mujassimu Ya'budu Sunaman and Al-Mu'attilu Ya'budu Adaman. The people who form things in their hands, they worship idols. The people who negate the existence of Allah, they worship nothing. Alright? Is that kind of clear? Question?
Can you come in here? You were Catholic?
No, he's like 8th century, 7th or 8th century. Christopher, and maybe father, maybe the 10th century, maybe the 10th century. He came about 500 years after the followers of the Shaykhun. Maybe 4 or 5 years. He was after Ahmed ibn Hanbal. He followed the school of Ahmed ibn Hanbal, which he graduated from.
What category do you keep the same Allah has an option? What category do you call
them? They are what we call
what's the name for them? You can say that the people, the scholars of Islam would call them. I wouldn't know exactly what we would call them besides ignorance, but definitely it should not be done. Simply because of what? From the principles that we just learned, the rules that we learned. Why would we say a lot about this? Because a lot is late. Right. But you hear the same thing, and some of them are big people of power. In front of you every day, television, radio, newspapers, lecture circuits, And you hear them say things like the corruption and the moral, the immorality of the American society or the Western society is smells like a rose. Will make Sardis of Mars and ancient Babylon and ancient Rome smell like a rose in the nostrils of God. On the nostrils of Allah. You see? But this is an incorrect statement to me. Because Allah didn't say he had nostrils. He didn't say he had a nose. You see?
once again, if they believe after clear evidence that is given to them, and they keep believing in their hearts, this, they get any gaping sin in their hearts, and in their patience, they're captured. They no longer want to. Let me be more specific. I'm talking about the main message of the law.
Right.
I'm not saying that they deny the flood, or they deny the sin of the Red Sea. They're very close to being a captain in my book. I don't want to take responsibility of saying, if you don't believe that the Red Sea is clear, if you're a captain, I'm not going to say that. But I'll definitely say, if somebody is courteously and kindly and knowledgeable with wisdom and sensitivity, respectfully explains to a person from the Quran in a sense of hadith of the Prophet that Allah has attributes and names and attributes, and you believe that person denies them, and they say, no, he doesn't, he's not there. They're Catholic. If they are Catholic. Yes. How much time? Are we 15 minutes, 10 minutes here? Remember chapter 7, verse 33. Can't be about a lot without knowledge. So, if you don't really understand it yourself, then, you may mislead them. You see, what is the reason why a person becomes a captive if they negate or reject the attitude of the law? What is that reason? What is the simple reason why? Just logic with you. We were really denying them things, but what is the reason that makes you, why do you become a captive? All that's true.
That's true too.
But something is more simple than what y'all saying. So if you reject the attitude of Allah, you reject the law. But the law's attitude is not separate from him. How can you reject an attitude of Allah without rejecting Allah? If you say that Allah doesn't have one attribute, you say Allah doesn't exist. That's what you mean. Because his attributes are him. They're him. You follow me? And they are him. He's not separate from his attributes. Allah is not omnipotent one day and not the next day. Yes, okay, the ones that they don't believe, who are they giving them to? You see? He's Catholic. If he's saying he's not that, he's saying somebody else is. In that degree. If you're saying he's not the giver of life, what did Pharaoh say in the Quran? أَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّهُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He says, sure, I am your Lord, you will. He says, he told him, I don't know any other Lord for me. He literally told him, I don't know, Lord. What are you talking about, Moses? I don't say anything. I'm the only God I know. I don't know the Lord besides me. Right? Isn't that what he told him? So by saying that he didn't know any other one besides him, what was it? He was going to find out who God is. He gave all our existence. He was a Catholic. What is it? Atheist in a second, in a kind of sense, in a sense that he's not saying that God doesn't exist at all. He's transferring the attribute of Allah to himself. Because he had an atheist. It's neo. They call it neo atheism. That's what they call it. Neo atheism. That's what they call it. Near atheism. Almost complete atheism. And that's why Allah SWT mentioned him by name and cursed him by name. And the Prophet cursed him further than that. In the hadith. In fact, he's so cursed that when he finally says in the Quran, I bear witness, or I believe in the God of the children of Israel, Allah says, oh, now you believe? Right? Now Allah made us grow. Right? And the angel Israel told the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Oh, Muhammad, Messenger of Allah, you should have been there and seen how I took that mud and stuck it in his mouth so he couldn't play that guy on. So basically that's it. Any no more questions? Next week, inshallah, we're going to start with we're not finished with the names and names of Allah. We're not finished. But I want to make a break in between the class next week, inshallah, will be divided into two parts. We're going to discuss some names, some attributes of Allah that may give the average person some problems. And we're going to discuss shirk in detail with someone. Shirk. All of the facts of shirk.
So you're going to come back to it.
We're not leaving there. We're going to talk about shirk in the first part of the first half hour, or maybe first 45 minutes. And in the last 40 minutes, we'll discuss some of the names and messages of Allah. Some of the attributes of Allah. Inshallah. Inshallah. Today, Allah?
Yeah, exactly. When you did this shirk,
I'm not talking about the way.